Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. As always, I'm Jim Blasingame, and we got some good stuff lined up for you straight ahead on the Small Business Advocate Show, including our good friend Jim Ostroff, who's with us right now. Jim is one of the great editors at the Kiplinger Washington Editors.
Hey, good morning, Jim. Good morning, everyone.
Hey, Jim, it's good to have you back on the show. And as you know, Jim joins us once a week to talk to us about what's going on in the world, according to Kiplinger. And, Jim, your lead story this week is on the economy and the fact that even though technically, and I've been saying this for a year now, Jim, technically we're out of a recession, but if you don't have a job, if your sales are still off, if you're still worried about where you're going and where you are and where you're going, it's still that's cold comfort knowing that we're out of a recession, especially if it still feels like a recession.
And we just have so many millions of people and so many companies that are sort of still holding their breath to saying, I'm worried. And, you know, it's very slow growth. But more importantly, there's just a lot of concern about where we're headed, just in general.
Well, I've been telling my audience now for a long time, and I wrote an article about this earlier in the year, and I've mentioned this a few times lately, that when we talk about V-shaped recoveries and U-shaped recoveries and W's and all that sort of thing, you know, I've been talking about the M recovery, the marathon recovery. And, you know, in a marathon, if you've ever run long distance, and I've never run a marathon, but I used to run distance when I was a kid. And when you run long distances, you go through peaks and valleys in your endurance. You know, you run up hills and you go downhill, but you also have in the terrain, but you also have times where your physical stamina peaks, you know, it comes and goes, it waxes and wanes. And that's the way a distance course is. And that's what we've got right now.
Well, very good analogy. And it's, you know, it appears to be a very long recovery. You know, we see this, you know, the current situation of continuing into next year, assuming everything goes well.
One of the terms that you use this week in the letter is you use the word spongier. Talk to us about what you mean by the economy feels spongy.
Well, the thing is that it over here that I mean basically this, you know, that unemployment remains stubbornly high at a tad under 10%. So employment is weak. You know, real estate prices continue to fall in many places. You know, home construction and retail sales remain very sluggish. And it just is troubling. And the point is exactly that, you know, that people and companies are concerned that there's no firm ground and that, you know, it is sort of soft and spongy.
Right. And we've so got that, footing, but it's not solid footing.
That's right. And in that environment, people, and particularly companies, are holding back on spending.
Yeah.
And
you know, Jim, another thing that that you guys point out this week that I think is really appropriate, and that is that, you know, there actually is some good news coming out of some of our trading partners like Europe. I mean, their economies are still having a tough time, but they're taking fiscally disciplined steps over there, aren't they?
Well, yet by and large, most of them are in terms of adopting austerity budgets.
Right.
Even to the point that the royal household in Britain is cutting back dramatically, fearing if they don't that they'll be cut in any event.
But, and, of course, some people, you know, that's a two-sided sword, isn't it, Jim? Because on the one hand, more spending creates more economy. But if you're spending money that has to be borrowed, that's just that's like a you know, take getting a high from a drug. It's it's not quality stuff. And yeah. And even though the fiscal discipline that they're showing may not, you know, help the economy grow right now, it's going to be better for the long-term economy. That's the kind of discipline.
Right.
That's the kind of a marathon I'm talking about.
It is, and you know, the concern there, and beginning in this country, is that you know we still need some stimulus here, but the debts being racked up are so huge, you know, that we face a situation unless something is done soon that we'll all be Greece.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Jim, the one of the things we have here in the United States, as you say, as you guys report, is that the economy is going to that the government is debating. You know, should we spend more money? Should we not spend more money? And we've got to pay attention to this issue. And this is where our leaders, our political leaders, really will show us what they're made of right now over the next year or so, in terms of whether they, you know, whether they focus on solid. Solid principles of, you know, something that can be sustained, or whether they try to go for the quick fix, and we'll have to see how that turns out. Jim, let's move over and talk about the next thing. Talk to us about the energy beat. I know that's one of the areas you cover a lot. Tell us about some of the things that are going on there.
Well, all right. There are many things down the pike. You know, for instance, we believe here that November, December, that President Obama will approve a new oil pipeline from Canada to Texas. They don't want to do it before the election. Yeah, and the point, after all is said and done, it's going to cost about $7 billion, built by private money, but it will vastly increase U.S. imports of oil from Canada.
Would that oil be able to be connected to the Alaska pipeline?
No, not the Alaska. I mean, that'll come in separately. The last oil comes in separate.
Yeah, okay.
But the point here is that, you know, it enables us, at least on paper, to reduce dependence on other foreign imported oil from elsewhere, such as from Venezuela. And even
who's no friend of ours.
No, he's not. And no.
So where's this pipeline going to go through? Where's it going to? Where's it going through the heartland?
Right center through the Dogland to, I forget where it is in Texas, ultimately.
Yeah.
But there are many refineries in the area. And in fact, those refineries have worked to take this heavy oil.
Jim, hold on to that thought. I've got a couple more questions for Jim on this oil pipeline thing. And we're going to talk a little bit more energy, and we're going to talk about some small business tax issues after these messages. 20 after. Stay with us. Little Eric Clapton bringing us back. 23 after. I guess that was Cream in those days, wasn't it? Welcome back. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm glad you're with us. Glad we're having a great visit with our good friend Jim Ostroff, too. He's with the Kiplinger Editors. My website, folks, is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Lots of good stuff there. We'll help you with your small business. Don't forget to take the poll question on the homepage. It's on vacations this week. And also, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter while you're there. Jim Ostroff is our guest. He's, as I said, with the Kiplinger Editors. And, Jim, that website is kiplinger.com, isn't it?
That's right. Yes, it is.
Tell us what we can find there.
Well, we have the flagship Kiplinger letter. In addition, there's Kiplinger Personal Finance Magazine. We have a tax letter and an agriculture letter.
Those last two are biweeklies, aren't they?
They are, yes.
The Kiplinger letter is weekly and the magazine is monthly. And how about that phone number?
There's a toll-free number, 800-544-0155.
I always like telling people about Kiplinger. They do good work there, folks. It's still family-owned, still an American success story, small business, really, in a lot of ways. And so we're proud of those guys. Jim, we're talking about the pipeline, the oil pipeline, that you say President Obama is going to approve to go through the heartland of America to connect Canada oil fields to our refineries in Texas.
Well, yes. And, you know, the thing here is, after all is said and done, there's an understanding, but we need the oil. Yeah, the alternative is to say, because we looked into this, draw a line in the sand, say no more big oil, and, you know, use that as a lever to transition to renewable power, renewable energy of all sorts.
Right.
The thing is, say what you will about renewable energy, but it's not there yet, and it won't be there for many years.
Well, especially since we can't make up our mind which one to go with.
We can't. And the one
that we seem to be leaning toward the most, which is ethanol,
right,
is a loser.
Well, and the big hope and the bet is we'll make it from waste, you know, agricultural material, cellulosic ethanol. Maybe we will, but we can do it now in very small amounts. So the question is, can we get there? Is it feasible? And the same thing here, even because, you know, we are to wean ourselves off of oil, do a lot more plug-in electric cars. And the issue is, even aside from cost, the infrastructure needed to support that would run into tens of billions of dollars. Who's going to build it? Who's going to pay for it?
You know, Jim, I've been seeing some advertisements for the Nissan Leaf, which is a completely electric car.
That's right, the plug-in.
That's an interesting. That'll be interesting to see how that works.
And
that
it
could
is,
be how that you know yeah. Where that could lead to. We have lots of hybrids out there, but is that the only electric one we have right now?
No, matter of fact, it the Nissan Leaf and the Chevy Volt will be sort of
charging out.
The Chevy Volt charging out of the starting gate by year end. And
the Leaf's already available, isn't it?
Not yet. It's not yet. I mean,
okay.
You can place orders. You can effectively put down money, but soon, in a few months.
I thought it was all right.
Well,
it'll be interesting to see this. Is this pipeline? One quick more question on the pipeline.
Yeah.
Is that going to be above ground or below ground?
Above ground. It's above ground. Almost all the way. Yeah.
Be interesting to see that coming all the way down through across North America. That'll be interesting. Jim, let's move over to page 4 and talk about small business taxes. What's going on there?
We think it's good news for small businesses. There are more, you know, credit and tax breaks are on the way. And, you know, within a few weeks or so, we think that Congress will enact a bill that combines, let's say, cash and incentives to encourage lending to small businesses and tax breaks.
It's going to be interesting to see. You're saying here that they're going to coordinate with independent banks, local banks.
Well, yes.
Community banks.
Supposedly. Again,
and I guess, will that be through the you call it grants, but the grants are not to the business. They're going to get loans, right?
That's correct. No, it is actually to the banks, about $30 billion fund at a treasury, really to help community banks lend more money.
And they're encouraging microloans, which will be good for startups if they can get that done.
That's right. Small amounts of money. It works very well. And, I mean, they are going to be double. You know, this is technical but very important.
Right.
Doubling the limits on, you know, expensing assets, you know, over here. And, you know, there.
Yeah, you're talking about increasing the direct expensing, the Section 179. Direct expensing from $250,000 to $200,000 to $500,000,
right,
which is good for some companies. But Jim, most small business owners don't need that. That's not a big jobs creator for most small businesses.
No, it's not. I mean,
they're also talking about extending the 50% bonus depreciation on those things that you do depreciate.
Right.
Now that's good. That'll help.
Right. That will extend it at least. It'll be reinstated. And people who are self-employed will get some tax breaks.
From the health premium deduction, right?
And the health premium deduction.
Now, that would be good. That's something good. So the big question, though, right now, Jim, that I'm hoping you're going to report on soon, is whether they're going to extend the 2003 tax cuts, because they expired this year.
Yeah, and we will be reporting on that soon, and that is a very big issue.
That's huge. That's very huge. Hey, Jim, thanks for being here. Give us that website one more time.
Sure, we're at on the web, just kiplinger.com.
KIPLINGER. Hey, Jim, thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Jim. Bye, everyone.
Jim Ostroff, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. What a great job he does for us every week. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'll be right back.
Well, our hearts be like thunder. I don't know why they don't.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.